Come in.
You want to see me, sir?
Yes, Mr. Blink. Yes, please sit down.
Okay.
Do you know what I want to talk to you about?
My stunning performance?
Stunning is certainly one word I might use to describe it.
Oh, that's good, because, you know, I was looking forward to getting a raise. You know, I got, like, all sorts of stuff I need to do, and...
Shut up!
Sorry.
Right. What? Now, your job description here is a Concord Stellar Cartographer.
Yeah, that sounds about right, yeah.
That means you map stars.
I do.
They're quite big thing stars. They're quite hard to miss, aren't they?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you've seen the one I was in, like, Uli. That's a pretty nice star there. I mapped that one.
Shut up!
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Now, the thing is your job to map stars, right?
Yeah, like I was saying, the Uli one, I did that one. That was a fun
Shut
one.
Shut up!
Sorry.
So how come you managed to fail to map all these stars between Kaldari space and Galendo space?
Oh, yeah. Those.
Yes, those. You've been working on this map for 5 years now.
I got it done.
No, you didn't. You missed out these stars.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess I kind of don't kind of fly into those areas very often or something.
Shut up! It's fairly fundamental to the job of a stellar cartographer to map stars. As in, notice they are there.
Well, there's so many. I mean... You know, like, we thought we had them all.
Shut up! I'm very, very disappointed in your performance here, Mr. Blink.
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm sure my past performance, you know, shows that I'm good at this job. I mean...
Shut up! Right, Mr. Blink. I am afraid you are now dismissed from the department. You're dismissed from this job. I would wish you success in your future career, but... I hate to say missing fundamental things in your job is probably not going to bode well with any future employer. Do not ask for a reference from us.
But how am I going to fund my capitals, man? I mean, I need this job.
Shut up! Not my problem. Now get out of my office!
Okay. Well, I mean, what are you going to do with those extra stars?
Well, I'll just call them Black Rise, put them on the map, and pretend they've been there forever. But you, get the hell out!
Okay, but one more thing, if you don't mind. I had sex with your wife at the Christmas party. Bye!
Hello and welcome to Warp Drive Active, and I've just lived out my dream of sacking Winterblink. But unfortunately, he's back here again. Hey, how you doing, mate?
Firing me is your dream? Holy crap, you're aiming low.
Killing you?
Well, I think you might have a bit of a challenge at that, but, yeah.
I'll let you live a little bit longer if you introduce me now. Deal?
Fine. Well... Here's that guy who rides on my coattails all the time, Urban Mongrel.
Hi!
Nah, I'm kidding. How you doing?
I'm good, mate. Actually, it's probably pretty much true in the case of this episode, especially given that you did virtually all of the work in it.
I know, what's up with that?
Well, I've come back from my course, I've been quite busy... but I did meet up during my travels with Vanilla Pax, and I met a couple of the guys who did the Clear Skies movie, JR, and, God, I can't remember his name, but the engineer dude.
Yeah, I don't know, I can't remember the cast names either, I'm bad for that. Yeah. Well, yeah, how was that? Did you guys, drink your faces off?
No, I didn't get that drunk, because I had things to do, but I had a good chat with, all of them. It was great fun. Really great guys. I bought them all a beer from you.
Oh, excellent.
And yeah, it was really good, and I hope to see them at FanFest.
Oh, that'll be cool if they can all make it, yeah.
Cross your fingers, eh?
Well, we've got to wait for CCP to, you know, release some information at some point, but
Well, now you come to mention it, for people on your side of the pond, the actual packages are out now, the prices, links in the show notes, blah, blah, blah. But we'll talk about this more on a proper show, because this is a special again.
This is a special. This is a special. This is, hopefully if we get this out before Monday, it'll be even more special. But, this is our Empyrean Age special, right?
Certainly is. For those of you who have been living in a black hole for the past 6 months, the Empyrean Age is the latest EVE Online expansion. It's free. It automatically downloads to your game client, so you don't even need to do anything apart from sit around for a few minutes. And yeah, it's the long dreamed of and the long promised factional warfare.
Actually, I have to correct you on something. You do have to do two very important things prior to applying said patch. One, set a long skill training before patch day. Just, you know, cuz.
Good idea, sir. Good point well made.
And second, and this is something I do, and I think most people should do this, back up your settings folder. Pain in the ass to find, but when you find it, you know, back it up, because inevitably something's going to be changing. It's just nice to have it all there, so just in case it gets tweaked during the patching process, just when you have all that stuff there.
Excellent advice from Mr. Winterblink there, yeah. So do those two things, and then third thing you've got to do is double-click the game client on Wednesday, and once its tranquility is all up and running again, it will automatically patch, and you'll be good to go. And imagine that, an expansion you don't have to pay for. This is why EVE is great.
It is awesome that way. Well, the downer is probably the forums are going to be dead. I don't know what I'm going to do, man.
You could actually do your work.
I do.
At work.
Oh, I do my work at work, man. Just, you know, occasionally need to distract yourself a little bit.
So how come you missed all those new star systems, then?
Oh, I see where you're going with that.
Anyway.
Your wife wasn't that great. Anyway. Yeah. So, what did we actually end up doing, then, for this Empyrean Age special?
Well, you did all... Well, you did most of the work on this one, but we fired some emails off to CCP saying, can we please have somebody to interview? Pretty please, pretty please. And they ignored me, as you'd expect, but the letter from Mr. Winterblink suddenly, wow, yeah, what can we do for you, sir?
If only it worked out that way.
Yeah, well, but to be fair, they were really good. They've been, you know, just... Yeah, there's some new guys doing this sort of thing. Of course, we had Val before, who was also wonderful, but she's got other responsibilities now. So, just everyone has been so helpful getting this set up for us. What heroes.
Yeah, we definitely have to extend a hearty thank you to everyone involved, because, it's always cool to be able to do this kind of thing, and, of course, to everyone's benefit in that we can do these fancy-schmancy interview thingies, and it's kind of cool, because you get to meet these guys and chat with them a little bit, and get to know them a little bit more than just what you hear about on the forums and dev blogs, so it's kind of cool.
Certainly is. And so, yeah, they were very kind and rigged us an interview with the most popular dev in the entire EVE universe, Mr. Zulu Park.
Yeah, everyone loves him.
Oh, yeah.
No, really, really great guy, actually. We actually had a really good time interviewing him.
The one that's like the annoying thing is there was so much good chat, which we did without having the recording stuff on.
Yeah, that's kind of one of those fun little things that almost always happens when we do these things. There's all this good blackmail material type of stuff that we just, damn it, we never get a chance to record. But
yeah, so we know what happened there, and you guys don't, so ha! But hey, you can check out the proper interview.
So today we have with us a very, very, very special guest. One
Hi.
Zulu Park. No, not you. Not you, Urban. Jeez, get back in your cage. We have with us the man himself, Zulu Park. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing quite fine, thank you. I like that you emphasized how special I am. It makes me feel special.
Excellent. That's the point. Make you feel special. We'd have enough muffins and coffees and stuff in the green room there for you while you're waiting.
My green room is actually not so green. It's sort of a whitish-gray-ish color.
Damn.
But there's no coffee, there are no muffins, there's me and a bottle of water.
That's Urban's fault. Anyway, we'll take care of him later.
I do the catering, I just eat it all and drink it all beforehand.
There you go.
This is why you are the way you are, sir. But we have a point of having you here. You're somewhat responsible for a little thing coming up right away called the Empyrean Age expansion, right?
Yeah, I've had my hand in the cookie jar there.
All right. So what exactly are your overall responsibilities, I guess, on this whole endeavor?
Well, so far for the Empyrean Age, in terms of balancing and design, I've mostly been in a consulting role. My main responsibility so far has been making sure that all the tasks get done and everything is flowing smoothly, and following up on that designs get finished and that they're implemented correctly in game.
Oh, so you shout at your underlings.
I believe there's probably a whip involved in there somewhere.
Funny story, there's actually about 200 whips lying around the office these days. After a special preview of Indiana Jones, they decided it was a good thing to give everybody a bunch of beer and then hand them whips. May not have been the smartest. Yeah, exactly. That may not have been let's call it a tactical error.
Oh, wow. remind me never to visit Tom B's office.
He's got the Nerf bat as well, remember that.
Yeah, and various other stuff he's been collecting that I dare not ask what is.
Oh my god. Oh man. So, whips aside for the moment, I guess Empyrean Age, maybe just for the folks at home, the people living under rocks who may not have heard anything about this, just in brief, I don't know if you want to give like maybe just an overview of sort of what Empyrean Age is going to be.
In other words, this means Blingy hasn't done his research.
Oh, I have indeed. I just want to see how on the ball our lead guy is here.
Yeah, he I think Blinky researched all night long.
Yes, okay, granted.
Granted, he was researching the effects of alcohol on the human brain.
Oy.
The results are out.
The effects are quite profound, let me just say.
Anyway, if I give you a quick rundown of Empyrean Age and what that entails. Empyrean Age is the upcoming expansion for EVE Online, coming out this Tuesday. Its main feature, and its once big feature, is the factional warfare gameplay mechanic. Factional warfare will pit players, or allow players to pit themselves against opposing factions and kill each other in the face in a whole new way, which is always a good thing.
Definitely, definitely. And it affords people who may not have previously been able to do that or thought about doing that really an interesting conduit for doing so, right?
What we kind of thought factional warfare would be was an introduction for people into PvP. People that may have been afraid of joining a fully PvP alliance or simply didn't know where to go to join a PvP corporation or alliance or do their own PvP. So this is sort of a way to get gently nudged to the direction of being a hardcore PvP awesome mobile in space with lasers.
Definitely. Frickin' lasers, right?
Frickin' lasers.
What do you mean with lasers? With blasters? When with drones? With Galente? Well,
are we Galente?
He's Galente. I'm Kaldari, who flies Galente all the time.
Well, pick your weapon and go shoot someone. That's all there is to it. I do not personally prefer lasers, but they are kind of the coolest looking and sounding weapon. I am a blaster man myself, or torpedoes.
I actually will have to probably give you that one. That when first time I ever heard a tachyon beam go off, I was like, "What in the hell was that?" Of course, it was firing at me, so I had a very brief amount of time to kind of go, "Wow, that was cool." That's actually the way I lost one of my first Thoraxes, gate camp in 0.4. But yeah, really seriously, you guys need to beef up. You guys need to really, really beef up the hybrid guns. Make them sounding cool, cooler than tachyons. I'll love you guys forever.
Can we get back on the subject here, please?
Sounds good. So maybe I thought one of the interesting ways of doing this might be just to maybe walk the players through day one, sort of what will they be able to do and how will they be able to do it. So maybe walk through sort of the steps involved in getting involved in, you know, faction warfare.
Yeah, absolutely. There is one militia corporation for each of the four main factions. There is the Tribal Liberation Front for the Minmatar, the State Protectorate, which is the Kaldari Corp, the Federal Defense Union, which is the Galante, and as always, Amar is awesome with the 24th Imperial Crusade.
What happened to the first 23?
I think the Minmatar are bearing the grudge from those.
gotcha.
20th was the one against the Jove. That didn't work too well, though.
Yeah, they took three more to kind of get back running.
Yeah,
after that.
that's for the backstory geeks there.
Ah, yes.
Anyway, we're interrupting. You carry on, sir.
Yes. Thank you, good sir. These are the four militia corps, and to join them, you need to have 0.5 standing or above to the corresponding faction. So let's just take, for example, Minmatar, because they're cool. If you want to go join Tribal Liberation Front, you must have 0.5 or higher standing towards the Minmatar Republic. And then if you have that, you can just trot along and join the corporation. It's not based on the race you are, it's based on your standing. So even if you're a Kaldari, you can go join the Minmatar or Galente if you have the correct standings towards them. If you want to join, what you want to do is check you have the correct standings, and then you can basically just fly to any of that faction's office and sign up for factional warfare. There's a nifty little icon in the station services bar. You just click it and apply and get recruited into the militia.
Sweet.
Actually, I want to continue a bit. I hear you're about to interrupt me, so I'm just going to keep on.
No.
As soon as you join a militia, what happens is that you become a valid war target for the opposing faction's militia forces, which means, because these are all in blocks, the Galente Minmatar and the Amar Kaldari blocks. So if you join up for Minmatar, the Kaldari and the Amar militia corp members will be able to shoot you anywhere. This is not PvP light or anything. You're going to be a valid legal target in high sec, low sec, and of course 0.0.
This is good, because I think that was something that some people were commenting on the forums of whether or not this was actually PvP anywhere, and it definitely indeed is. It's basically like almost like it's permanently at war, essentially, like having a permanent war deck, right?
This is the, yeah, I mean, this is just the same mechanics, war mechanics, as everybody else has. You're at constant war with the opposing factions.
So you've joined your faction, right? And what, you'll get a list of lifts, you get access to, shall we say, faction agents, and they will give you missions to perform, is that right?
Yes, that's one part of it. You can do missions against NPCs for your militia agents. That's just one part. Those will usually, and I think always, be combat missions. There's no courier stuff or anything. They're combat missions, and they will send you into hostile space. Now, the point with that is that you take a mission. The mission may not be difficult if you compare a militia mission to a regular mission, and they're both level 3 or level 4. The militia mission is going to be much easier. But the point is that you're being sent into enemy space, so you have to fit for PvP, and you have to bring friends. And basically, the mission is just the beginning of your adventures.
And completing those missions will give you faction points, I believe.
Yes, you will get standings gained to your militia for that. And as the more standings you gain, the higher you rise in rank. That's pretty awesome, because I think, well, everybody can check out the, I think Grayscale did a blog on it, the ranks with the pretty pictures and everything. It's pretty awesome. They have some good names. They used to have some bad names, but now they have some good names.
You should have left in the Bloody Fist of Marta, though. You should.
No.
Oh.
There's just one image that pops into mind when you say Bloody Fist of Matar, and it's not a pretty one.
Yeah.
Sport. But So what other ways, though, can you earn faction points?
You can earn... Well, the missions give you also loyalty points. So they work as a regular mission. You get rewards and you get loyalty points to spend in the loyalty point store, and they give you standings.
And ISKIs?
Yeah, but then there are capture points. And these are dungeons buried in all the combat zones. The combat zones are the zones where basically you can gain control or gain, let's see, what we had an awesome word for this somewhere. Just going to look it up. Occupancy, yes. You can change the system occupancy to your faction in a hostile country or in hostile space. So if you're a Minmatar and you take a bunch of your friends roaming around and you start doing capture points and taking them and then defeating the subsequent control bunker, then all of a sudden you may have flipped the occupancy of a system in a Mars space over to Minmatar hands. And this is pretty cool because their players are actually having a direct influence on the war, the progress of the war, and the landscape, both the political and the actual landscape of the game.
Which is very awesome, because that's something that you usually don't see in most MMOs, is the ability to actually sort of change those battle lines on the map, if you will. One question I had on that was, what are the benefits and or the drawbacks of gaining or losing control over a system? Like, what does this gain you as a player? Do you get any kind of rewards for this, or what's the deal?
You get standings from doing the dungeons, the capture points.
Right.
And like I said, the more standings you get, the higher in rank you rise within the militia. But mostly, I mean, and this is of course our position with all gameplay, it's about the fun. It's about hopping into a destroyer or a frigate or something and just going crazy. Just flying into enemy space, capture some dungeons, shoot some people in the face, and live happily.
Definitely. So, just jumping back a little bit on, say, a typical mission. Once you sort of accepted this mission, you get your objectives. Now, a typical mission in EVE is basically you flying to a waypoint and killing some NPCs and flying back, but it's a little bit different in this one, right? Because you guys are basically popping this onto the overview for everybody to see, correct?
Yes, we're being extra mean. like I said, when you accept a factional warfare mission, it will send you on a combat mission into enemy space. And that means you have to bypass all the choke points and you have to bypass all the enemy militias to get to your location. And once you're at your location and you start the actual mission, a beacon pops up on your overview or on everyone's overview that says, hey, there's this guy here running a mission for your enemy faction. How about you come and kill him?
So if you go and kill him, what does that gain you apart from satisfaction?
It gains you a lot of satisfaction. and knowledge in the fact that probably he'll be unable to complete his mission because, you know, it can be a few jumps and he has to get a new ship and stuff like that. Mostly it's the satisfaction of just being able to kill people in the face.
But you don't get faction points for that? Or do you?
No, but you can increase your... in the militia office... you get to see like your kills per day. So there's basically, you see how many kills you have been doing and how many kills your whole militia has been doing. So that number rises. But there's no tangible reward for killing an enemy doing just a regular mission. Or a factional warfare mission, sorry.
Other than the tasty, bitter tears of sadness from them that they are unable to actually complete what they're supposed to be doing.
Absolutely. Which, in my mind, is always a good reward.
Definitely.
You also forgot about lording it over them at FanFest.
Absolutely.
That's always good.
What concerns me there is you'll end up in a kind of, I'm going to use a bad word and say, WoW PvP situation, where you've got, I think it's something Valley, and you get basically two gangs of 30 are meant to be fighting each other, but all they do is they charge straight past each other and go and attack their like NPC general, and it's whoever can gank him the first. Are you expecting that to happen, sort of thing? People just to be going on the offense the whole time and nobody really hanging back to defend?
Well, the thing is, like I said, this is, you're having a real effect on the landscape. So if all you want to do is charge and attack the enemy, then the enemy is just going to take your space, and he's going to hold it. So all of a sudden, Minmatar space will have Amar occupancy. And that's, I mean, I don't think the people that are going into factional warfare are going to be too happy when they see that their home base and the system where they get their missions and stuff like that all of a sudden has Amar occupancy. That's not a happy place to be.
I'd be willing to bet money that on day one, it's going to be a lot of people going on the offensive, and then suddenly figuring that particular point out, that it's going to have to be a balance of offense and defense in order to sort of make it work.
Absolutely. And, I mean, some people just enjoy it more on the offense, doing roaming gangs deep into enemy space and killing people randomly. But other people just like to, like, make a stand and do the whole Braveheart thing. Without the whole mutilation. Yeah, anyway.
So now you said that, now you have to give us, like, face paint and ambulation so we can, like, do the blue thing.
It's called woad.
Exactly. Give us a whole, like, we didn't get dressed up for nothing emote.
Oh, no. But also the thing you said, you had, or there was worry that people would just charge past each other on their way to the battlegrounds or to capture the hostile NPC. That's, I mean, these, your valid war targets anywhere. You can try to go around into high sec and that, but then the faction navy is going to shoot at you, and you can try to sneak the low sec route, but if you chance upon, like, a gang of hostile militia, they're going to start shooting. I mean, that's basically like saying in 00 that the roaming gangs would just charge straight into home turf and not stop and pick a fight at a gate somewhere along the way.
No, that never happens.
No, that never happens.
Oh, so actually, that raises an interesting point about the faction navies, because how does this change with faction warfare then for you? Because, you know, right now, it's not a whole lot of stuff that goes on much with the faction navies. Now, this kind of seems like it's coming more to the forefront. How do they sort of interact with you then?
What's going to happen is that people that are not in or not using the factional warfare mechanic, not in the militia corps, are not going to notice any change. However, once you join a militia corp, your opposing faction's navy is going to shoot at you in high secure space. And that means they're going to shoot at you and they're going to web you too, but they're not going to warp scramble. So that means you're flying around in your... basically, the defender has the advantage. If you're fighting in your space, you have your faction police on your side if you're in high security space.
Very cool. That's at a gate, though, right? They don't come in on the missions and stuff like that to help you out.
No. The missions are all in low sec anyway, so there's no faction navy there.
Right, gotcha. One other thing. Oh, yeah. So, say a brand new player, or, you know, someone just new to faction warfare joins up. Who do you have to fight with now? Like, what sort of mechanisms are in place to help you find a group of players to go out and kill and or defend with this whole thing? Like, is there new channels, or what's going on with that?
As soon as you join a militia corp, you get the militia channel, which you can sort of view as the alliance channel as we have it now. Basically, that's where everyone in that militia corp, everyone in that militia, because corps can also join the militia, whole corps. So that's like the meeting spot for all of these people.
Very cool.
And, there you can, of course, start chatting up with people. And as we see it, because this is not like the alliances or corporations where you have a bunch of tight-knit members. I mean, there are going to be groups of players that are tight-knit, and then there are going to be people that just simply don't know the other people. And this is where we see an option and a possibility for people to start using eVoice more. As they don't have to trust some guy downtown to run a server for them 24/7 or something. They can just hop on the militia channel, join a gang, and just start talking on eVoice.
Let's talk a little bit more about the missions. I mean, you start off with, like, level 1 missions to level 4 missions, and there's basically a gate on what kind of ship can be involved in this one.
Yeah, this is basically just like the... like regular missions. I mean, you have a varied level of agents, and they have varied difficulty. But like I said, the mission itself may not be the hardest part you're going to encounter, because the hardest part is going to be balancing your fitting and maybe bringing friends so that you can start killing the bad guys when they start warping in, like the players.
So if I'm in a militia and, you know, I don't like it, you know, say I'm in the, you know, Minmatar militia and I have a rust allergy, can I leave?
Yeah, of course. You can retire from the militia anytime you want. It's just like leaving a corporation. You just open up your militia window and say retire, and there you have retired.
And providing my standings are good enough, and they can go and join another side's militia.
Yeah, I mean, it's highly unlikely that you're going to be able to join the opposition militia if you have standings to join, you know, the other militia.
Yeah.
But you could join the your helper faction militia. So if you're Minmatar, you could possibly go join Galente. Or if you're Kaldar, you could go join Amar.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, anything's possible. I mean, you could, of course, sort of maintain your standing so that you could join all of the militias. It would be tough, and I don't see a point in it, but everything's possible.
So will there be any repercussions if you do leave?
Actually, this is something I'm not 100% clear on, so I don't want to give a definite answer. But as I remember it, you get ranks based on your standing. So if you leave with a high standing and rejoin with the same high standing, you should pop up back in the same rank you were in. But I'm not 100% sure on this. You'd have to ask Grayscale. He's the man behind that.
Or just find out for ourselves when it comes out.
Or, you know, log on to TQ on Wednesday probably and start shooting people in the face and see what happens.
If I can get my internet connection stable enough, that's quite a big issue just at the minute.
Oh,
don't even get me started on your internet connection, man. Seriously.
Maybe you should have a service rep from his internet provider as a guest on the next podcast.
We should. What the hell are you doing with Urban's internet connection, huh? Huh? Who do you work for? Oh, man.
Now, something I've noticed, well, I haven't noticed, but I've heard about issues you've got on Sizzy at the minute, is that there's a lot more Kaldari involved in this than anything else, and you kind of expect that because Kaldari are the most numerous race in the game. Is this going to be sort of dynamically balanced? So, for example, if Kaldari do a Blitzkrieg, it actually starts to get a bit more difficult for them.
Well, the mechanic is so that the more space, basically, it's like with any kind of territory. The more you control, the harder it is to keep it all under control. So let's say that the Kaldari just blitz everything in Galente space, then they have to make sure that they're able to keep all that space. Then the Galente could, for example, do raids deep into Kaldari space and start, you know, eating it up from the inside. So, I mean, of course, the difficulty of controlling space is scalable with the amount of space you hold. But, I mean, we're not going to be doing anything to control this. This is player-driven.
Even if it gets very, very unbalanced very fast.
We'll just have Tom B. join the losing faction and see what happens.
He'll move his planet in and kill everybody.
No. But, I mean, I don't think that's where it's going to head, but it's very hard to predict these kinds of things. And as always, I mean, if there's a way to do something somehow other than we intended it or expected it to do, then EVE players are definitely going to find it. So that's where we have to be a bit reactive and just be quick on the ball and see where it's going wrong and fix it. But currently, I think the mechanic is going to be fine just on its own.
Yeah, back when I used to play Dark Age of Camelot, that'd be Dayhawk Urban. It was somewhat similar type of thing was occurring where you'd have you know, everyone was pretty much in you know, one or two of the three different factions. There was usually at least one faction which was like way lower than everyone else, and yeah, it was a case of like, you know, there's various mechanics they would do. They'd all team up with another group or something like that and actually work against the one who is on top. And it is actually interesting to see how just being on top basically just makes you the number one target. So it might, I don't know, it might not necessarily be the case where they end up, you know, pwning all of EVE.
Yeah, absolutely. Because like I said, I mean, you always have two enemies and just one friend in factional warfare.
So yeah, moving along, there was one of the issues that sort of come up in the forums quite frequently after the mechanics for joining the militias were announced was the whole issue of you know, as a player, you can join pretty easily if you're not in a corporation that's in an alliance, for instance, right? Or in a corporation that doesn't want to join wholesale into faction warfare. I don't know, is there anything you want to speak to about that? Because there's kind of a lot of people that are a little bit, you know, there's a lot of gnashing of teeth going on about that, of people having to leave their corpse, for instance, in order to do this, or, you know?
Well, I think it's as with anything, if you don't like the direction your corporation, that the corporation you're in is going in, then you leave. That applies to all fields, not just factional warfare. So if you want to join factional warfare and your corp doesn't, I mean, I don't see how that's different from any other dispute you would have with a larger scale of people.
No, this is true.
For the record, can I just say I have actually stayed in corps and alliances which aren't going well, just out of a sense of morbid curiosity.
What you could do is also start shooting at them.
Oh, but I mean, like, it does kind of seem like this is, you know, for people who are in, you know, they're really dedicated to the corp and stuff like that. I mean, obviously, corporations and alliances have their own kind of warfare that's going on, right? It's not faction based, but it's like we're in our own factions in a way. But you know, like, they still kind of want to try out the mechanics, and it seems like it's like, you know, we all are going to be making alts right away just to try this out.
Then people just go and do that. That's fine too. And then maybe they realize that this isn't something for them, and I mean, that's something they would have realized anyway, and maybe they realize this is something for them and they move their main over. This is not something that we can control or have any kind of influence over. This is just something that people have to sort of make up their mind about themselves.
I guess then for the veteran players, what would be some of the incentives for joining up? Like, there's some cool little toys to play with potentially, you know, some rewards, or what's the deal?
Our long-term plan, or maybe even not so long-term, is to add factional warfare-specific items into the LP store. This is something that we want to do to reward players that are fighting for a cause, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I would say that for veteran players to join a militia corp, for example, they could benefit if they want to try and lead a fleet, but they don't want to do it within an alliance or in a situation where there's a bunch of other veterans around. Maybe they just want to try their hand at leading by leading people who are new to PvP. Some people have that teacher element in them, and they simply just want to impart some wisdom on the unwashed masses. So, but the tangible rewards definitely are going to be in the form of LPs and stuff you can buy for them.
Definitely. So I guess in a question on that point then is, what are some of the new goodies you guys are adding in, like, right away? There's some new ships from what the patch notes were talking about, right?
Yes, we are giving the races faction cruisers. That is what we're doing right now. These are going to be, have been balanced with that in mind, that they're supposed to be a little less hard-hitting, but a little bit more faster and agile. So these are kind of hit-and-run ships that are being introduced here into the game.
It's hard to believe you can actually make the Exocror less hard-hitting, but...
Oh, snap.
Oh, sorry, I had to get my dig in on that one. I think everyone had a chuckle when we saw the Exocror Navy issue. It was like, what?
Oh. Yeah, have you tried it out on CC? It's quite good, actually.
I was looking at the stats, and I'm going, wait a sec, this actually might not be that bad.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think people are just going to make the mistake once of laughing at it in battle.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely looks like you guys have removed the whole mining bonus cargo hold stuff that it had before. And
well, it didn't really fit in with the whole factional warfare bit. Maybe if we do a factional mining patch, we'll...
Navy issue Rorqual, perhaps?
Oh, you're making my griefer heart bleed.
Oh,
let's get
yes,
away from no. The care-bearness which Blinky brings to the show. Another thing you're bringing in is the factional warfare map modes. What are those exactly?
Those show you where fighting is taking place. Basically what happens when you initiate a dungeon, when you initiate a capture point, is that you start gaining victory points for your side. and against the opposition. And as soon as that happens, the enemy can see, like, oh, there's something going on here. We're about to lose this system. Let's all pile over here and kill everyone. So basically, this is to allow people to see where their space is being attacked.
And you can see where systems have changed hands and things like that?
Yeah. See the occupancy of systems and what's going on in them, basically. We tried to design it so that you would have a pretty good overview of everything that's happening.
And this is real time, is it? It's not like, you know, the 0.0 maps, which every 24 hours they come out.
No. This is more like active pilots in space kind of thing.
So potential delay up to like 30 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
Potential.
Gotcha.
So what are you going to do with like people in there just to kind of grief and stuff or kill their own team?
People like me, basically.
Popular no. guy at the office.
Oh, yes, I am. You should... no, I'm not. but the first thing when I heard the design was... the first thing I thought was, damn, this is going to be awesome. I can join a militia corp and I can start shooting the people in it. That's great. And then they kind of plugged that hole. Basically, what happens is that when you drop below the recruitment standard that is currently 0.5, when you drop below that standing towards the faction, you just get kicked out.
Hmm.
And, I mean, if you're doing illegal kills against your militia members, that standing drops pretty fast. So, I mean, you're going to be able to get a few kills in, but then you're out.
Will you get a standing boost for, you know, the enemy faction for doing that? Because that way you could just keep switching sides the whole time.
I don't think you get... You don't get a corresponding standings boost to the standings hit you take, so you'd always have to do some standings grinding somewhere in the middle.
Would be fun, that.
So, but I mean, if you're that dedicated for griefing, I salute you.
Is it just based on killing, or if I, like, you know, if Urban and I are playing together and I, you know, accidentally sensor dampen and warp scramble him for someone else? Well, you know, I thought I had the other guy targeted, whatever, and whoops.
You tried to give me an armor rep, but your finger hit the wrong F key.
Exactly. I mean, it could happen. So, I mean, is it like an assist for the other team then, in a way?
I gotta admit, I'm not entirely sure on it, but the way that would feel natural to me is that it works as an assist, yeah. Basically, you initiate an aggression and you take a portion of a standing sit for it. Absolutely. But I'm not 100% certain, so...
All right. Urban, you might be safe after all. Maybe.
Oh, no, he's not.
What makes you think we're going to be on the same side, Blinky? You base French scumbag.
Yeah,
oh,
thanks.
Snap!
Yeah. All right, thanks a lot, Urban. We'll just mute your mic right now.
You just,
no, I
you,
think
you
muted
yourself,
his mic.
You idiot.
Nope.
Oh my god.
Epic fail from the Blinky man there.
Of course.
Oh boy.
Imagine you're not actually shooting your team, but you are spying on them and, you know, providing intel for the enemy and stuff. Can anybody actually throw you out of the militia for doing that?
No. Currently, there's no mechanic for that. So, it's going to be a spy galore, but remember also that, the fighting is going to be taking place on fleet level, not on like a whole corporation or alliance scale, but like it's going to be, or the way I see it and we see it is that it's going to be like fleet by fleet by fleet. So if you suspect there's a mole in your fleet, you just kick him out of the fleet and he has no way to tell what it's doing, pretty much.
Okay, fair enough.
So you can exclude him from the actual combat and, I mean, he shouldn't be an issue.
You can only just get a very big overview of it, which, you know, they're probably aware of anyway.
Exactly. But, I mean, if this becomes a rampant problem, we'll do something about it, but I don't imagine it'll be.
Indeed.
Well, you know EVE players.
Yes, I do. I am one.
Oh, man. So, one other issue that sort of popped up quite prevalently on the forums was issue of the role players. So what kind of things does Empyrean Age afford them
especially sort of with focus on the current requirements for joining, because a lot of these guys kind of have issues with, you know, having to move like alliances and corps in there, and they can't do it.
The roleplay alliances.
Yes.
Well, pretty much we just made a decision of not allowing alliances in the militia corps, simply because we were afraid that some big 00 alliance would just join up and dominate one of the factions. And since we can't do exceptions, we just had to exclude all alliances. And there's just nothing, there's no malice behind it or anything. It's just a tactical decision we had to make.
Who would possibly want to do something like that?
That would have to be a group of awful people.
That would be something awful if that happened.
Oh, what? Ba-dum-bum. He's here always.
Yes, my subtle meter is exploding.
Yeah. Oh God. I don't know, when the argument first started appearing on the forums from the role-playing perspective, I kind of initially thought, well, this has kind of worked to your advantage in a way, in that now you have a game mechanic you can join up, you know, and actually do your role-playing in. But I guess, you know, I guess the fact that they have to sort of leave their established group in order to do it is kind of an issue.
Obviously, I mean, this is... we realized this wouldn't go down well with everyone, but we didn't see an option not to do it.
This idea just popped in my head. Is it possibility down the road then to sort of form, in a way like, you know, you have corporations inside an alliance, of to have sort of groups within a faction, like in terms of the actual faction warfare elements, right? Almost like you're creating a subgrouping inside a particular militia. Sort of see where I'm going there, where like the role players could kind of still have their unique grouping, their identity together, and yet still play with the masses?
Well, there kind of is, because they can all join up in the same corp, or in like-minded groups can join up into their own corporations, and then their corporations can join the militia corps. I think that's kind of the same thing, or are you differentiating somehow?
No, I was just thinking of something a little bit more like how it's very freeform to sort of enter and leave in terms of the militia itself, of having something similar from a corporate level.
Oh, you mean basically doing a persistent subdivision in the militia corps?
In a way, yes.
It's a possibility, definitely. I mean, I wouldn't exclude it. I don't think we've talked about it so far, but I mean, anything's possible.
So what kind of sort of tie-ins are we going to see from Tony Gonzalez's epic novel, The Empyrean Age, which is due out soon as well, right, in June, into the ongoing plots, sort of into the website, as well as the faction warfare itself? Are we going to see a lot more story-based integration into the events of faction warfare, and how's that all kind of work together?
Factional warfare is story, that is the happening of the factions going to war is driven by our storyline. So basically, that's obviously very interwoven into the whole release. So is Tony's novel, which goes into detail on how everything happens. But in the future, it's going to be a split. Obviously, some of the happenings in factional warfare are going to be storyline driven. But as always, we want to keep it as keep it a sandbox, basically, so the players pretty much control the fate or their own fate.
So the news, because there has been a lot of new storyline news coming out, that might dynamically change based on what's actually going on in space.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if the Kaldari overrun the entirety of Galente space, we're not going to keep coming out with a story Galente winning or something.
They lie a lot, the Galente.
Hey, for the record, even if they were to overrun all of Galente space, we're still winning, but in a retrograde fashion.
Alright. You just keep telling yourself that. That's
we're
fine.
Lulling them into a false sense of security, and when they come to reclaim Kaldari Prime, they're going to look and just fall over in shame at like just how appalling we've made that planet. I know I've been dumping my garbage in orbit, so I don't know about everyone else.
That's mean.
Yeah, tasty, mean. But I guess, you know, because what we've seen so far, especially like with the last two major teasers, which are awesome, by the way, is getting more, like, getting story elements and then some in-game things actually happening, like, especially with the whole, you know, Nick's parking incident that we had with the first teaser, where people, you know, players logged in and saw the whole busted up station thing. Are we going to see sort of some driven elements from the story appearing in-game as part of Faction Warfare? Because that would be really awesome.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there are stuff happening in the book that is going to be represented in-game. Absolutely.
Sweet.
It is. I've seen it, and it's about as epic as it can get. So, you're in for a treat.
Awesome. Salivating as we speak.
Salivating or celebrating?
Both.
That's what he does to party.
Yes, indeed. The drool. So, I guess if... One other question I have, I don't know if you might be able to answer this one, but if the Empyrean Age novel is successful, which I hope it is, because it's from what I've read of it, it looks pretty awesome from all little teasers that have been thrown around. Is there plans for another book, perhaps? Some kind of maybe movie TV series?
You're... Wow. Alrighty then. I mean, you don't stop a writer from writing, so there's no doubt in my mind that the material will exist someday. If it's going to be a book or mini novels or you know, chronicles or whatever, I have no idea. That's all in Tony's head right now.
Does Tony know this, that he's like now dedicated forever for the rest of his life to writing Empyrean Age stories?
I hope so, because otherwise he's going to kick my ass when he comes here next week.
We're
saying this stuff on air, yeah.
Tough guy. I think he might be able to take you on that one.
He's from New Jersey. He has an accent that makes people scared.
he's got an awesome accent.
Yeah, he talks like a mobster, so. And he looks like one, too. Oh.
You guys really do need to get him on those live dev blogs reading bits from his book, because I hear he loves that.
I asked him to do it, what was it? I think it was last devblog. I asked him to read a passage from the book, and he was not entirely thrilled. He did do it, and it sounded awesome, but he was less than enthusiastic.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a little conversation with him on that one, too. I was like, yeah. Sounded great, man. Great job. Just as awesome as when you got up at FanFest last year. And he was like, shut up.
It's a wonder that any CCP ever talked to us at all, to be honest.
Oh, no, honestly, it was. I think it was very excellent what he did on the dev blog, to be honest.
Anyway, going back to the Imperium Age again, there's just this latest dev blog by Ginger, and I've got two questions about it.
So firstly, can you confirm that CCP Ginger is not Ginger Magician?
Yes, there is no doubt in my mind that Ginger is not Ginger Magician. We have,
thank God,
we have a bunch of Ginger people in our company, and this Ginger is especially proud of being Ginger, and that is where the nickname comes from. But there is no relation.
Thank God for that.
Yeah.
No comment.
And the second question is about, you know, this embedded reporting system for the IC department, the Interstellar Correspondence.
Mm-hmm.
Well, each faction is going to have its own news corporation and is going to be writing their own biased take on the news, I take it?
Yes, these are going to be written by reporters on the field, basically. These are people that are going to be accompanying the militia people into battle. In ships that cannot affect the outcome of the battle, so they're just there as a, I wouldn't say impartial, but non-participant or non-combatant reporter.
Basically. Can they be shot at still?
I hope they can. I don't know how Ginger has it planned out, but I absolutely hope they can. They're going to be my primary targets each and every battle, just like the ambulances.
I could imagine every story would be like, and then the battle raged, and I was dead, so I had nothing else to report.
Yeah. Oh. Then I was in my pod again, and then I was in the station, cloning bay.
Yeah, I think they're calling them
short stories.
But yeah, apparently because it's fear that they're modified media shuttles with higher agility than regular shuttles, no cargo holds, and no way whatsoever affecting the action around them. But that does not stipulate that the action cannot affect them.
Absolutely. That's all I know about is what I read in Ginger's blog. So I'm pretty much on the same level as you guys with knowledge on that. But like I said, I absolutely hope they can be shot. Although, like you said, it's probably going to be a very short story for each and every one of the poor reporters.
This is good. But I mean, the best part of war sometimes is the propaganda. So this might be quite interesting to read what stuff comes out of it.
Totally.
And the news feeds will be up on the Battlefield Intelligence window, which I would imagine that's part of your militia interface. Is that correct?
Yes, that is the interface button you can bring up, like I said, the station service button where you recruit, where you join up, is where you're going to be seeing the stats and your militia news and stuff like that.
All right, but will it be available? Well, it says some of it will be copied, it will be the main news feed.
Yes, yeah. Some of the specific militia news will be incorporated in the main news feed, yes, absolutely.
Okay, cool.
So you can pretty much see the propaganda the other guy is doing and counter it with your own, if you want.
Awesome. It's like news war. Technically speaking, you know, information war is a big part of modern warfare. Why not?
It is indeed.
You know? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There are no insurgents in the name of capital here.
Exactly. The Iraqi defense minister thing happening in Nineveh. The Galente defense minister.
So if people want to join this, you just join the IC department.
If I think your question was, or if your question is what I think it was, then the answer is yes. They just join the IC, and then they can start reporting for the whatever faction.
Okay, cool.
All right, I think that's about all we have to ask you. Is there anything that you wanted to add in all this?
No, I think we've covered everything. Covered good ground here. I just hope that people realize that factional warfare is for everyone. It's not for just the newbies, or it's not just for the veterans. It's for everyone to just join together and rejoice and have fun shooting each other in the face.
Well put. I think I speak for a lot of people. I'm not going to say I speak for everybody, but just that it's definitely interesting, I think, about sort of how the stance that CCP's taken with this, and that you're basically making the PvP element available to pretty much everybody at this point once this goes in, which is great.
If you're at all interested in PvP, there is no excuse anymore not to do it.
Yeah, and I mean, the barrier of entry is so low. It's totally easy, even if you just want to roll an alt, to, you know, train it for a month or something and do some good with it, and, you know, grind a few missions, boom, you're in. I mean, it's pretty, it's very well done, I think. So I have to, you know, tip my hat to you guys on that. Thank you very much, Sulu Park, for taking the time out of your day to sit down with us and talk about this. So look forward to, going against you or with you come next week. We'll see.
You'll find out. If there's a guy in your corp that's shooting at you, It's me.
Awesome.
No, but seriously, thanks for having me. I hope this cleared up some issues, and if I was wrong in anywhere with gameplay mechanics or something, I guess Grayscale and Ginger are just going to have to beat me up, and the players are going to have to hate me.
Rabble!
Rabble, rabble, rabble. I'm sure we'll all hear about it on the forums anyways.
I bet.
You couldn't have got more things wrong than we do in the average podcast.
Great.
Yeah. But, okay, awesome. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, sir. Thank you. Zulu Park. What a guy.
He is a good guy, actually. He's a natural at this. It's almost like in the past, he's had to, like, actually put himself out there and talk about a change that was upcoming, you know? It's like he's almost done this before.
Yeah, it's scary that. And, you know, a change which some people might not like, for example.
Well, I don't know what that would be, but yeah, no, this was a really good interview. Like I said, we had a lot of fun chatting with him both before, during, and after. So yeah, I mean, thank you very much, sir, for joining us on that stuff. It was good.
Yep, I mean, quite a lot of quite good points we got out of that, really, didn't we?
Yeah, good information. You know, a little bit more than just a simple dev blog or, you know, a post to the forums about what they're planning. This is, I think we did a neat thing by sort of walking it through, you know, like how a player would approach this stuff. And it's, like, again, this stuff's coming up right away, but it's nice to sort of get their perspective on how they think that people are going to be using it. So, I don't know, I liked it.
Well, I liked it as well, so thank you for setting that up, sir.
Ah, no worries.
So anyway, after we talked to Zulu Park, you then went off and snagged a role player while I went to the pub, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, well, part of it was, the reason why I did this was because, you know, catching all the buzz going around in the forums that, you know, you spot, you know, some of the role player guys. Of course, you know, occasionally you'll misclick and end up in Intergalactic Summit instead of General Discussions, because right next to each other in that drop-down list, and you wonder what the hell happened to the forums, because it's quite a bit different in there than anywhere else because of the whole role-playing angle. But there was definitely, just in general, across the forums, quite a negative sentiment to factional warfare. Not as a concept, but just in the application and how it affects them, which was quite the contrast from what you saw in general on the forums, where people were very much, like, you know, dying to get into this stuff. So I thought it was only fair to sort of provide the counterpoint and chat with these guys and see what was up, and let them present their case. And we managed to snag Raj Blake, who is, like, legendary. He's been around forever, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was on ETV a couple of times doing role-playing things.
Yep.
If you remember that. And he's been at, well, every single London Eve piss-up I've been to, as far as I can recall.
Yeah, no, I've never been to a London piss-up, but, yeah, anyway, he was...
Have you ever been to an Eve meet apart from FanFest?
No, there's not a lot of that kind of thing kind of happens around here. Well, I guess the number of pilots is a little bit lessened once you cross the pond in a lot of areas, but, yeah, no, there's just not a lot of that kind of action going on here. There was one that happened near me, but, that ended up being, like, well, I guess we were doing a podcast that day and totally forgot that there was, like, this meet that was, like, basically 3 hours away. I could have driven it, but damn it, next time.
Yeah, next time. Good thing about the UK is everything's a bit more concentrated, so you can get to all the Eve meets really without too much trouble.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're getting off the topic here, which is our little interview, or your little interview, I should say, with Mr. Rog.
Yeah, let's take a listen. So continuing on with our Empyrean Age special, I have with me a very special guest from the representing the role player community. We have is it Raj Blake? Is the J there or is it silence?
No, it is there. It's the J is there.
Awesome stuff. Well, thanks for being with us today to sort of present the role player side of things, man. This should be an interesting interview, I think.
Good to have to speak to you.
Yeah. So maybe just for the folks at home who might not be aware of, like, sort of who you are, maybe just introduce yourself and give a little bit of your history in Eve.
Sure. Well, I am Roger Blake. I'm the CEO of Pi Inc., which we believe is probably the oldest role-playing corporation in Eve. We were formed on the very first day, though I wasn't there right at the start. We're essentially an Amar loyalist corporation, so we tend to fight on the Empire. Sorry, on behalf of the Empire. Which means that we're generally in conflict with a lot of supporters of the Minmatar Republic, amongst others. So pretty much since the summer of 2003, it's been constant warfare between various other groups, most recently the Ushrakan and the Alexis Matari, which is, whereas a lot of PvP corps, they tend to have a campaign then a week or two off. With us, it's day in, day out, constant warfare, which means you have to have a slightly different frame of mind towards war. And on top of the roleplay wars, we tend to get involved in a lot of anti-piracy work and general fighting all around.
Sounds good. And of course, it's all in context, right? With in character, I should say.
Yep, it's all in character. So if you see a Pi member speaking in local, he will actually be speaking as a... someone who supports the Empire rather than as the player behind that character.
Yeah, it's I've definitely run into situations where I've been in local with some kind of issue that's been going on between two role players, and it's very distinctive compared to what you regularly see in local chat.
Yeah, we hope that people that are passing by they can take something out of that, and it might liven up their day slightly when it happens.
It's actually kind of neat when you see it happen, because almost 9 times out of 10 I'm wondering whether or not I stumbled into an event of some kind, and yet to see it come from the players is like it's an awful lot of a commitment, right? Because it is quite a bit of a different style of gameplay.
Well, I think to a lot of us, it's just how we do it. I mean, there's no right or wrong way of playing Eve, and some people actually, like myself, I actually find it easier to play the game if I've got a set of objectives which are roleplay inspired. Right. Whereas a lot of other people are just in it for the occasional fight against random targets. By having the roleplay feed into what we do in game, it means that we've always got something there on the horizon that we have to be building up for, which helps keep it all fresh.
Definitely. Is this something that is sort of like your typical way of approaching an MMO? You typically play as a role player?
Well, Eve's actually my first MMO, but from many years ago, I come from a sort of tabletop role-playing and wargaming background, so it's something that comes quite naturally to me, I think, by now.
So then, currently in Eve, and we're talking sort of pre-Empyrean Age here, sort of how does an entity like Pi and these other alliances and corporations you've spoken about, how do you guys currently sort of work your role-playing into the game mechanics? Is it simply just a matter of war decks and sort of your own role-playing approach to things, or how is this all kind of...
I think everyone has their own slightly different style. You've got the likes of the CVA, who are also Amar role players. They're quite a big alliance in Providence in 0.0 these days. So, from their point of view, they are reclaiming lawless space on behalf of the Empire. For the likes of Ushra Khan on the Minmatar side, they tend to adopt a more raiding posture, so that they will have their bases in various places from which they'll attack slave transports and stuff, and then they expect us to come out and fight them to defend them. Little things like that. And in terms of general gameplay style, in Pi we do have two rules going back to the very first day of the game, namely that we only accept Amarian characters into the corp, so that's Amarians, Nikunis and Karnis now, and also we only fly Amarian ships, which has both good sides and bad sides. Bad sides are obvious, in that people always know what they're going to be fighting against, but on the plus side we all know exactly what everyone else in the gang will be flying as well, so we know how everything fits together, if you like.
Yeah, definitely. As with anything in Eve, I mean, all the good sides and bad sides balance each other out in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah,
definitely. So obviously by that, it's not so much that you guys are limiting yourself to play in Empire. You guys are definitely out there in 00.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. About a year or so back, the CVA took a couple of outpost in Providence from the Ushra Khan, and we were down there for that. There was a lot of shooting at Cossies and stuff, which was quite boring at the time. But it's always nice when the outpost finally changes hands, and we're down there quite a lot as well. If they've got pirates or the likes of Triumvirate a few months ago tried to attack Providence, so we helped them out there. So it's a nice mix between the zero sec warfare, Empire Wars, and also low-sec anti-piracy and things like that.
Yeah, I don't think you'll get any arguments from anybody who's been involved in POS warfare that it's not the most exciting thing in the whole world, but that's good. You guys are kind of interacting with the non-role player, I guess, alliances and stuff like that as well. How have you found that to be? Obviously they're not necessarily going to role play along with you.
You'd actually be surprised at how many of them do get involved in it. There's always a certain amount of smack talk which comes back about people trying to role play with them, but conversely, there's a lot of people that just play along and would happily tell you that they think the Empire is wrong about various things.
Oh, nice. So, like, war as a recruitment tool, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
So, moving forward then, I mean, obviously next week we have the Empyrean Age expansion coming out, bringing with it, of course, a major component is faction warfare. Yep. This has... Well, I mean, I've been reading the forums, obviously things like general discussions and stuff like that, and catching a lot of notes from people from the role-playing community about how this is going to be a negative thing. Now, from my perspective, I was just reading it, and I'm going, well, it seemed to me that this would almost be a mechanic that would be supportive of sort of what you guys have tried to do, but because you're essentially it's providing a framework for, you know, the warring factions, but that hasn't really been sort of well received. So how does this all kind of play into how you guys approach the gameplay and why is it sort of perceived
Faction Warfare was first announced probably 2 or 3 years ago now at least, and we were all initially very excited about it. And we thought, yes, this is something which we will definitely be getting involved with. And since then, CCP have constantly put the deadline back for it, and then back again and back again. And all that time, we've been asking for roleplay support in the form of more Aurora events or news items and things like that, or senior people from the various factions actually coming out and actually making announcements, little things like that. And all during that time, CCP have basically said, can't really do that, go out and do your own roleplay, which we've all done. CVA especially, as I just said, you know, they've gone out and they've got themselves a region out in Nort-Nort. And now CCP have come along and said, okay, this is faction warfare. This is how it's going to work. Oh, by the way, if you're in an alliance, you've got to leave the alliance to take part. And when people like Ushrakan as well and Alexis Matari, they've spent a lot of time and effort building up an identity for their alliances, and now they've basically got a choice where they can keep that identity, that brand by which they're recognised by everyone else, or they can just drop it all to take part in something which they've been waiting for. So it's a very hard decision, and I think that's what's mainly angered a lot of people.
Yeah, I can see it. I mean, it's actually one of the questions which we just got done with an interview with Zulu Park, which you haven't heard at this time because we haven't finished editing it up. But it was a question put forward to him is how that would play into it. And the suggestion to him was that, well, I mean, as a corporation, you can still join up as a unit. Obviously, it's on alliance, but like the whole idea is there that yeah, as a one singular unit, potentially a corporation could be the one to go with. But I guess it depends on your, you know, your player counts and all that other stuff, right?
Yeah,
but,
I mean, well, it implies we're a one corp alliance, so for us, it's quite a trivial matter to just either dissolve the alliance or put it in an alt holding corp, and then the main corp can just go off and take part in it. But if you're a director of the executor corp of an alliance, it's actually quite difficult if you, that alliance has got posses all over the place and outposts to maintain and the whole logistics side of it. It's just that it's a level or two of higher difficulty to actually keep the alliance operating if suddenly all your senior players are no longer in that alliance.
Right. Yeah, kind of. it kind of tends to muddy the waters a little bit in the logistics sense. But
yeah,
that's. I don't know what other. I mean, there is. You mentioned some issues with sort of events and reporting on the news and stuff like that. Yeah. And I don't know if you've checked out the new dev blog by Ginger, and they're actually doing embedded reporters for as part of IC.
Yeah,
the Interstellar Correspondence.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, this should be. We talked a little bit about it on this interview as well, and it looks to be like it might actually be pretty cool. I guess it's one of those things we'll have to see where it goes, but it sounds like they're beginning to sort of take, at least in the faction warfare sense, the players' actions into ongoing plots and stuff like that. But
credit's due. I mean, about 6 months or so, Mercury started reporting on things, and on the whole, one or two exceptions on news reports, but on the whole, what they've produced has actually been pretty good stuff on both the player-run things on Alliance News and what have you, and also some of the CP-led CCP-led stories about what's been happening in the Empires has all been pretty good. I just hope that it does carry on past the patch, because before major expansions in the past, we've seen that there has been quite a flurry of news items in the run-up to it, and then after the patch hits, suddenly it seems to go a bit dead. So I hope that doesn't happen this time.
Yeah, I agree. It's historically, yeah, you're very right on that. It does kind of die off while they focus on, you know, adjustments, yeah. So to speak. I'm hoping that this time, now that they have sort of a defined group of people put towards this, that you know, just for the, you know, the effort of story, you know, led by people like, yeah, Tony Gonzalez and stuff, that, you know, this is going to be something that's a committed effort. I mean, things like having videos and stuff appear as part of the news reports, like, you know, the teasers that we've,
yeah,
got so far.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love it if they kept that up. Like, it's. I thought it was an amazing angle to take on the actual,
yeah,
storytelling.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's good stuff. I mean, not to blow the point of like alliances and corporations joining being kind of difficult for some of you guys, but I mean, other than that, in terms of other features in faction warfare, I mean, what's been the role playing community's kind of thoughts on it? Is it a positive direction, at least for people to start off in this role playing kind of road?
Yeah, I think that certainly in Pi, we're looking at it being a good way of not so much recruitment, but although that may well go up as a result, but also to actually find new allies and to bring more people into the roleplay scene as part of it, because roleplay isn't just about talking in character. It's about, or for me, it's mainly about just thinking what your character would do and actually doing it through the game mechanics. And faction warfare is just an ideal way of doing that. It means that you can say, oh, I'm an Empire supporter or a Minotaur Republic supporter or whatever, and you can actually go out there and do something positive to support your faction. So that's just a wonderful thing to bring new role players into the game.
Yeah, definitely. And it's been something that when they first announced it, I mean, you sit there and you're going, why was it not in the game to begin with? Because it makes sense, yeah, for it to be there. They have this awesome backplot going between the four factions alone, and it's been sort of marginalized, and now at least you know, there's an option for some players who, you know, mainly from a PvP sense, who wouldn't necessarily touch it. Now they have a direction to take.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're integrating it in with the plot more and more in terms of, like, the factions, it's definitely a really awesome direction, at least from my opinion, to take the game. So I hope everything kind of works out.
Yeah, I think once things settle down a bit, the actual core of the mechanics that they put in for are actually quite interesting and could work quite well, because there is a place for capital ships and battleships at certain points in the flipping over of the systems, but conversely, there's also whole complexes where you're only allowed to go in there in Tech-1 frigates and destroyers. So that will really limit the more advanced players in what they can do, and it will put some of the newer players on more of a level footing against them, assuming they can get into these systems without getting ganked at the gate, of course.
Yeah, I think system security might hold them at bay, but it sounds like at least that the faction navies, well, it sounds like, for one, it's a good thing the faction navies are taking a lot more of a forefront than, you know, just the NPC navies, but of course players will be able to lock down systems as well, and
yeah,
working in concert, that should make it quite interesting for somebody to get in and try and complete an objective. But yeah, it is nice that they're kind of, they're scaling it so, you know, a brand new player can just use a cheap Tech-1 frigate to go in there and get a taste of it. So it should be pretty decent, I think, from that perspective. Alright, so, well, next week, I guess this stuff goes live. Are you going to take part in it? Are you going to roll yourself an alt or something? Or, you know, how are you going to approach this? Are you going to give it a try?
Yeah, we're certainly going to give it a try. We've got plans afoot in the corp to move the whole corp in and sign us all up at once in the first day or two of it. It's involved a certain amount of moving around of ships and stuff in preparation, which I think we're just about finishing off now. So, yeah, we'll be ready when patch day hits, and hopefully we'll be able to hit the floor with all feet running.
Definitely. Yeah, and it's from the perspective of our side of things, at least from the podcasters, we're actually eyeballing this quite closely and have some plans to do some coverage on a regular basis of what's going on in faction warfare. Definitely keeping an eye on the news, you know, what's going on the maps, seeing how the lines are being drawn and shaped and shifted and generally taken over by Caldari pilots.
Well, there is a school of thought, of course, that all of these Caldari pilots in the game are all ISEC mission runners in their Caldari Navy Ravens, and that if any of them set foot into faction warfare, they're actually going to get yanked quite fast. So, but that's on a different front to what we're going to be operating on in Pi, so we'll have to see how much fun they have over that side of things.
I definitely think there's going to be a lot of really surprised mission runner pilots that their PvE based fittings do not work quite the same way in PvP.
Well, I think that from what I've seen on Sissy of missions, the rewards for them aren't all that great. So, especially when you take into account the fact that you might have to go about 12 or 13 jumps to actually get to the objective. So, I don't think a lot of the hardcore actual mission runners are going to stay doing that for very long, because I don't think you'd be able to make half as much money as you would doing your normal level 4s.
Yeah, I think the focus is primarily on the PvP aspect of it, like the very act of beating up on other players, you know, or trying not to get your ass handed to you by other players. And I'm sure that the rewards aspect is probably almost entirely confident that it's a pre-nerf. I mean, just, you don't want to give people too much at the start, right? They'll probably start adjusting that stuff.
Yeah.
It's been the CCP approach to a lot of things like this.
Yeah, and I suspect that for the first couple of months, there's not going to be a shortage of people who want to take part in it either. And arguably, if they made the rewards really, really good, that low-sec systems that can be contested would just be swamped with pilots and get lagged to death. And that's something that none of us want.
Definitely, definitely. And of course, now you guys have the Augurer Navy issue to shoot for.
That's although technically, of course, we've always had the Augurer Navy issue. It's just that they're all being changed in the patch to Omen Navy issues now, which is quite an interesting way of doing it. And then there's a new look Augurer coming in as well, so...
yeah, it's...
I'm sure there's a logic to it somewhere.
Probably. Don't even get me started on the ship changes, man. My my Helios is turning into an Imicus, and I'm just like, God, the ugliest.
I'm also quite happy, though, that the Amara are finally getting the sixth frigate that's been missing for 5 years.
Yes. Well, congratulations to you guys on that one. It's only taken, as you say, 5 years for that to arrive.
I mean, I suspect this is the actual Amara oomph that we've all been waiting for, actually.
the MR boost.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Our missing frigate. We can all go home and retire now.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Oh, what was the other one? Oh, yeah. It's also, you guys are getting the Anathemia, right? You're getting the magnet hole on that one.
Yeah. Which looks quite good, actually, from what I've seen of it. So.
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
in ship.
It is. It is an attractive ship. So I'm kind of jealous that you guys get a magnet and I get an Imicus.
Well,
at least
I'm sure you can fly one too.
I actually probably can. I do have some off Galente skills trained here and there. So,
and last but not least, there's the Navy Apocalypse is finally getting its boost that it should have had a few months ago.
It's what was it? Capacitor bonus.
Well,
right?
It's losing the capacitor bonus and getting optimal range instead. But it's also getting a boost to its base capacitor and a little bit of extra CPU and a fair chunk of power grid, I think, as well. So it's basically they're just moving the change from the normal Apoc that they did a few months ago and mirroring that over to the Navy Apocalypse. So that's now going to be a decent ship again.
Yeah, really. I mean, I think a lot of people, that has just been my perception at least of it, have kind of, once the Abaddon came out, everyone switched over to that one.
Certainly for missions. I mean, it was the only time you saw Navy Apocalypses, and the Abaddon could do pretty much all that the old Navpoc can do, only cheaper, because sooner or later you probably will lose a ship on a level 4 mission, and it's just, you can ensure the Abaddon, which you can't do on the Navpoc so well.
Yeah, definitely. Well, is there anything else you're looking forward to on this patch other than just the faction warfare stuff? Because there seems to be a little bits here and there that are outside of the faction warfare elements.
Yeah, I was looking over the patch notes the other day, though, and it's all sort of just the non-faction warfare things that just seem to be tying up loose ends here and there, so there's nothing there which really catches my eye other than new faction ships and the faction warfare and things like that.
Right. Well, everyone, welcome the overview, not completely reconfiguring time I unlock.
Yeah, that's not so much a patch note as a bug fix, though.
Should have been out a long time ago. All right, man. Well, thanks for joining me in this. It was great having you on.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, good luck next week. Definitely keep me in the loop and let me know how things work out for you guys.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure you'll be reading better stuff about it on the news anyway when the glorious Amarian fleets march into Paytor, then it'll be on the news, no doubt.
Nice. I look forward to reading about that one, man.
Might take a year or two, though.
Yeah, right. You never know. Yeah. We'll see how things go. Thanks a bunch.
All right. Thank you.
And that was our interview with Mr. Rog Blake. Thank you very much, sir, once again. It was a lot of fun sort of getting that all kind of wrangled and organized and finally interviewing you. It was a very good time. The guy's another very nice representative of the role-playing community. I think he presented his case quite well. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's a lot more coherent and down-to-earth than a lot of role-players. Controversy, hooray!
Well, it was, I don't know if you saw it at FanFest last year, but they had one of the guys from Pi that was up doing a presentation. I forget what his name was, I'm bad on this, but he did one of the presentations during the Alliance presentation segment, and the guy was absolutely hilarious. I mean, it was... you know, you kind of go, uh-oh, come the role players, right? But it was neat. He was like the only guy up there that was part from the role-playing area, and he was one of the funniest ones. It was definitely actually a really cool presentation. I think they have it somewhere online to watch. It's worthwhile.
I haven't seen that one. I didn't see any of them at the time. I saw the Goon Swarm one was recorded, which was quite amusing in a very goon way.
Yeah, that was really good. That was Stouffer that did that one, if I recall. That was we were all laughing our butts off in that one as well.
Another EVTV star, indeed.
Yeah, no, but it was kind of interesting because a lot of people, you know, don't really consider Eve to be a game that would necessarily sort of, you know, lend itself well to role playing. I don't know. It's just not people usually, I think, typically associate fantasy games for, you know, the role-playing angle. But, you know, Eve has such an amazing background lore stuff going for it, like a story, that, I don't know, it's kind of neat to see that it still flourishes. And they're by no means, like, the largest group in the game, but they still do this stuff, like, and they have their motivations for doing it, and, you know, Eve just as well as anyone does as a alliance or a corporation. So it's kind of cool.
Certainly is. Anyway, that's all we've got time for this week. Thank you very much, Mr. Blinky, for all your efforts here.
Yeah, well, you're welcome. I hope everyone appreciates it. This is kind of a neat show to kind of toss together. And again, thanks to both of our guests, Zulu Park from CCP and Rod Blake. Just, you know, thanks especially to the CCP for helping us organize this and kind of get everything all together. There was a lot of work that went into this, so hooray!
Yeah, indeed. Thank you very much to everybody for listening as well. See you very soon for a normal show.
Yes, see you on the flip side after the patch is applied. Good luck.
And go and join your militia. Go and sign up now. Or sign up on Wednesday, in fact. That might work a bit better. But sign up as soon as you can and go and fight the foe.
That would be the Kaldari.
Anyway, see you next week, guys.
Yep, fly safe fish. Thank you.
Dance.